Magnolia Pictures. BB Film Productions. FJ Productions. Intrinsic Value Films. Yale University, August 1961. We see a laboratory. In front of a mirrored window, there is a large piece of electronic equipment with a row of switches and a counter that reads 1234 and a microphone. There are two men in lab coats. One of the men in the lab coat answers the door. Two white men in suits enter with derby hats in hand.
Hello, I'm Mr. Williams. Thank you for coming. Please. You are?
Fred Miller.
You must be...
Wallace, James Wallace.
Great. Please. Have a seat. Now, before we do anything else, allow me to pay you. Please check that both names are spelled correctly. You understand that this is yours simply for coming to the lab. From now on, no matter what happens, the money is yours. I'll have to have you...
We see another man, Milgram, watching the exchange through a window.
Psychologists have developed several theories on how humans learn. For example, it might help to reward a person. Sometimes it helps to punish him. We do know that punishment, thank you very much, is a powerful incentive towards learning. For example, when a parent spanks a child. However, in fact, we actually know very little about the effect of punishment on learning because almost no scientific studies have been done of it on human beings. Now, one of you will play the role of a learner who will receive a mild punishment if he answers incorrectly to a series of questions, and that punishment will be administered by a teacher.
Now, what kind of punishment are we talking about?
Well, first, let's determine which of you will be learner and which will be teacher. If you'll just choose one.
The experimenter holds out two fists. One man chooses.
Teacher.
Guess I'm the learner, huh?
Good. This is the machine for generating electric shocks. Go ahead.
The learner looks at the machine with a slightly anxious look.
Now, let's set up the learner to receive some punishment, if you'll just follow me into the next room.
Is it okay if I leave my hat here?
Yeah. He leads them to a booth behind the mirror with a desk facing a window.
Now, you might want to remove the jacket.
Milgram switches windows.
Go ahead and have a seat. Now, when you push one of these four buttons, this box will signal a light in the other room telling the teacher how you're responding to the questions.
What kind of questions?
Multiple choice, word pairs. A strong arm, black curtain, and so forth. Now, we want you to memorize them. The teacher will first read them as word pairs, strong arm, for example, and then he'll read only the first word, strong, followed by a series of word choices, back, arm, branch, and push. Now, your job is to remember which of those words was originally paired with the first word, strong.
Arm?
Right. Now, you would indicate that by pushing one of these buttons here. If you had thought it was the first word I had read, back, you will push this first button here. If you thought it was the second word I had read, arm, you will push the second button, so on and so forth, for the third and fourth word choices. Now, if you get the answer incorrect, you will receive an electric shock. Would you please roll up your right arm sleeve, please? And would you just help me strap him in to limit any excess movement?
How far do you think
he'll come? Make sure it's nice and tight. Now, this
too soon to
is
tell.
Connected to the shock generator in the next room.
Electrode
and electrode paste. To limit any excess burns or blisters.
I should say that a couple of years ago in the West Haven VA hospital, they mm-hmm. determined that I had a slight heart condition. Nothing serious, but how dangerous are these shocks?
Well, although the shocks may be extremely painful, they cause no permanent tissue damage.
Oh.
Well, we'll be communicating from the next room.
The lab coat, I decided to make it gray. White would seem too medical.
When he sees they've left the booth, the learner removes the shock apparatus and picks a box up from the floor and puts it on the desk. Milgram gets up and moves from the window on the learner to the window on the teacher. He takes a pen and notebook.
Okay, thank you. Now, if he gets the answer incorrect, you administer the shock by flipping one of these switches here. See, each switch has a little red light above it. Now, to give you, the teacher, an idea of the amount of shock the learner will be receiving, we think it's only fair that you receive a sample shock yourself. Is that all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just roll up your sleeve.
Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards.
The experimenter puts the same apparatus on his arm.
I ask you to close your eyes and just estimate for me the amount of volts you think you're receiving. Okay, close.
Milgram turns to the camera.
This part's where the experiment really begins.
Experimenter, the Stanley Milgram story.
Now, if you'll just use this scale here to tell me the amount of volts you think you received in the sample shock.
195?
No, actually, that's incorrect. It was 45 volts.
Milgram jots something down.
All right.
Okay, learner, I'm going to read you the words, and then I'm going to repeat the first word, and you're going to tell me the pair for that word. Okay?
Oh, he doesn't have a microphone, but he can hear you.
Okay, keep it moving, understand? Remember that each time he gives a wrong answer, you move up one switch on the shock generator. It is important that you follow the procedure exactly.
Okay, here we go. Blue girl, nice day, fat neck, green ink, rich boy, fast bird, blunt arrow, soft hair, cool cave, gold paint. And the first word, blue, boy, girl, grass, bat.
The number two lights up on the counter.
Correct. Soft, rug,
he finds
pillow,
his way into it.
Hair, grass.
With increasing confidence, he finds a rhythm, a groove.
That is incorrect.
Until
90 volts.
The teacher turns to look at the experimenter, who continues to look down.
Here we go.
Gold, dollar, necklace, moon, paint.
Number three lights up.
Incorrect. 120 volts, gold paint. Hard, stone, head, bread, work.
Number one lights up.
Incorrect. 135 volts.
The teacher turns again to look at the lab coat. He looks back unmoved.
Okay. Wet. Night, grass, duck, cloth.
Number two lights up.
Incorrect. 150 volts, wet duck.
How do you know when a change, a true and lasting change, is about to overtake your life?
Grass, man, girl.
We see a beautiful woman in a gray coat with a brunette bun.
Eighth floor, please.
Fine.
Milgram is in the elevator with the woman and the operator.
Are we going to the same party?
Probably. You know Doris Eisenman?
Saul Horowitz invited me.
I never heard of him.
He looks back at her.
Should we continue talking or wait till we're properly introduced?
She smiles politely and squeezes by as he lets her get out first. House party. There is a young boy in pajamas. Milgram enters with two glasses. He sees the brunette woman talking to a tall, handsome man. He puts a note in his pocket. She twirls over to Milgram.
Hey, dancing.
Oh, well, I studied here in Paris, but work in an office now.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Miguel. Limited dance skills, although I did spend some time in Paris.
What are you studying at Yale?
I teach, actually. Social relations. Did you just give that guy your phone number? So if I wanted your number, I can get it from him?
Social relations. What does that mean?
It's a combination. Sociology, anthropology, psychology. You know, basically covers everything from the way people talk in elevators to the study of role-playing, conformity, authority.
Soft. Rug, pillow, hair, grass. Incorrect. 165 volts strong shock.
Let me out of here. I told you I have a heart condition. I will not be part of the experiment anymore.
He says he's not going to go on. Please continue, teacher.
He says he doesn't want to go on.
Well, whether the learner likes it or not, he must go on until he's learned all the pairs correctly. Please continue, teacher.
Reluctantly, he turns back toward the machine.
Calm down. Concentrate. Sad. Bass. Music. Clown. Girl. Incorrect. 180 volts.
He went all the way. Most of them do.
Sharp. Axe, needle, stick, blade.
We see a different man as the teacher.
No response from the learner must be interpreted as a wrong answer.
Still laughing. Trying to hide face with hand.
Something's happening to that man in there. Can you please go check that everything's okay?
Not once we've started. Please continue, teacher.
So you accept all responsibility?
The responsibility is mine, correct. Continue, please.
Wet, night grass, duck, cloth.
Clenching fist, pushing it onto table.
Milgram has a young man sitting next to him observing.
How are you holding up, Alan?
Dollar necklace, moon paint, 375 volts, danger, severe shock.
Let me out of here. Let me out. Get me out of here.
We see the same man as Lerner with a tape recorder playing. Milgram and the brunette woman, Sasha, kiss passionately.
What is this?
I just like the picture. The colors and... Don't you?
Yeah.
Take it. It's yours.
Why didn't you mail it to me?
She hands the picture back.
Well, we could leave it here and you could move in. That'd be easier, wouldn't it?
She smiles and they kiss. Cut to a different person as teacher.
Wet, night, grass, duck, cloth.
He holds his head in one hand.
Wet, duck, 435 volts.
He laughs nervously.
Brave, woman, soldier, dog, horse. Brave woman, 450 volts. Okay, what now? I'm at the end of 450 volts.
Continue, please. The last switch again.
Yeah, but he could be dead in there.
The experiment requires that you continue. Go on, please.
And his health doesn't mean anything?
Well, whether the learner likes it or not, we must continue.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, sir, but I think you should go look in on him. All you have to do is look in on him. I'll look in through that door. Because I'm not getting any noise. I'm not getting no sound here.
We must continue. Go on, please. The next word is white.
He looks back perplexed before turning back to the switches.
White, cloud, horse, rock, house.
White horse, 450 volts again.
Fair,
price, rule, skin, sky. Wrong, 450 again.
All right, thank you. We are done with the experiment.
Okay. Now I'm just going to speak with the learner. I think he might be a little upset. In the meantime, my assistant would like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, surely.
Dr. Milgram.
How do you do? First I'd like to, no, thank you.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
Yeah, surely.
Milgram sits down with a clipboard.
Why did you give him, the man in the other room, the learner, the shocks?
Well, as you can see, I wanted to stop, because each time he gave him a shock, the guy hollered.
Did it sound as if he was in pain?
Yeah.
Did he say he wanted you to stop the experiment?
Yes.
Did he have a right to stop the experiment?
I don't know.
Why didn't you stop at that point when he asked you to stop?
Why didn't I stop? Mm-hmm. Well, because he told me to continue.
Why did you listen to that man and not the man in pain?
Well, because I thought the experiment depended on me. And nobody told me to stop.
He asked you to stop.
Well, that's true, but he's the, the subject, shall we say.
Who bore the responsibility for the fact that this man was being shocked?
I don't know.
The man rubs his brow and shakes his head. Milgram nods.
Could you fill out items 6 through 18 on the questionnaire in front of you, please? Here's a pen.
The experimenter comes in with the man who plays the learner.
I get a little skittish, nervous.
As I explained to Mr. Wallace in the other room, this shock generator is actually used with small animals for laboratory experiments, mice and rats and so forth. The visual designation is actually misleading. This shock generator has actually been adjusted so that the shocks were just slightly stronger than the shock you experienced.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. You know, no hard feelings. I probably would have done the same thing myself.
He puts his hand out to shake the teacher's hand and leaves. Milgram addresses the camera.
Each subject has a reconciliation with the learner. We ask the subject to maintain his secrecy so that future recruits aren't tipped off. Down the line, we get more candid.
He turns to the subject.
First thing I want to tell you is the man in the other room wasn't being shocked. The only real shock was the one that you felt early on. We're really interested in studying your reaction to having to inflict pain on someone you don't know. The experiment's about obeying orders. The man in the other room works with us as a team. Jim, you can come out now. He wasn't really being shocked. He's perfectly fine. We weren't trying to fool you. We're just interested in studying your reactions.
Oh, man, you dog. I was worried sick. I thought I was...
You're a good fella. No hard feelings. No hard feelings.
But you thought you were really shocking him.
When he wasn't making noise anymore, that's when I was worried. I didn't want to go on with it.
But you did go on with it.
Yeah, but I did not want to. You saw it. You saw how it was, how I was fighting it.
Well, you understand why we had to do it this way. We wanted to get true reactions from people, you see. Well, you'll receive a copy of the report when the project's over. Until then, we ask you not to say anything, so you may end up talking to someone who is a potential participant. How do you feel about having come down here and done this now that you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, now that I know the truth, I don't mind.
Well, thank you very much for coming down. We certainly do appreciate you giving us your time.
Yeah.
Alan here will help you out. We think you'll find the report very interesting.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
The subject leaves. The man who plays Lerner sits down.
I still get nervous. You're cool as ice.
Oh, maybe all those years of teaching high school give you a sort of...
poker face?
Oh, discipline, I was thinking.
You're like a grave digger.
I think you mean undertaker.
Domino effect starts to kick in the teacher's mind once he assumes the role.
Get some women in here. Got my wife in this seat. She'll, we got 9 kids. First squawk, she'd stop the whole shebang.
9 kids, you sure about that?
Oh, yeah. I have enough saved up to give them each a pair of socks if the electricity gets me.
You're a brave man, Jim. All right, next subjects, too. We should keep going.
As Jim Lisi puts on his hat playfully toward Milgram.
Some enchanted evening, you will meet a stranger.
Milgram turns to address the camera.
I was born in the Bronx, 1933. My father's from Hungary, my mother Romania, Jewish immigrants.
An elephant appears and follows him down the hall.
They arrived in the U.S. as children and managed to raise a family in New York instead of being swept up into the extermination camps and murdered by the Nazis like millions of others like them in Eastern Europe. That's really what's behind the obedience experiments. The inkling I was chasing. The thing that troubled me.
How do civilized human beings participate in destructive, inhumane acts? How is genocide implemented so systematically, so efficiently? And how do the perpetrators of these murders live with themselves?
He walks out of the building onto campus. He catches a paper that's flying around on the ground and hands it to its owner.
My daughter, Michelle, precocious child, who at this point in the story hasn't yet been born, used to tell the kids at school, my dad's a psychologist, but not the kind who talks to people lying down. He's an experimental psychologist. He does experiments.
We see the experimenter put out 2 fists.
First, let's determine which of you will be Lerner and which will be teacher.
It's the brunette and Milgram.
Teacher. They both say that. No one's caught on?
Not a soul.
Not the corporate manager, the banker, the plumber, the good humor man?
The good humor man was actually vicious.
Crude mesomorph of obviously limited intelligence.
The script has kind of momentum, carries them along.
Men only?
Every hour. It's getting to be a blur, really.
So you lead them both, both teacher and learner, into the, electric chair.
Well, we don't call it that, but yes. If you'll follow me into the next room, please.
Here's my home.
I think I'd go nuts in this little room all day.
Well, they keep me busy. I actually have a heart condition.
Really?
Yeah, it does give you a sort of authenticity, I think, in the part. Yeah.
But I think I'm a better actor than I am accountant.
It's nearly time for the next one.
Oh.
Is somebody in there?
Maybe Alan. Shall we join?
She waves to the observing room.
Not to give you, the teacher, an idea of how much shock the learner will be receiving, we think it's only fair that you receive a sample shock yourself. Is that all right?
Fair enough.
Your right arm, please.
This is the only real shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done it?
Been shocked like that, literally?
Yeah.
Yes, it's not pleasant.
Ah!
Now, if you'll just use the scale here to estimate for me the amount of volts you think you've received in the sample shock.
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that was only 45 volts. So go ahead and begin the test.
He doesn't have a microphone, but he can hear you. Just speak into the microphone. The rooms are partially soundproof.
Are you ready, Lerner?
Milgram notes.
Continues with robotic impassivity.
Sky.
Courteous to experimenter.
Ink.
Seems to derive no pleasure from the act itself.
Lamp. Incorrect. The correct answer is box.
curt and officious when saying correct.
75 volts.
Let me out of here.
Each time he administers a shock, lips drawn back, bares his teeth.
Milgram looks detached. Sasha is mesmerized.
Sweet. Candy. Girl. Taste. Pickle. Wrong. Sweet taste. 120 volts.
The teacher turns to look at the experimenter behind him.
Looks sadly at
True.
The experimenter.
Story. Hero.
And continues
Speech.
Reading word
Report.
Pairs.
Wrong. True story. 135 volts. Slow. Walk.
Afterwards,
Dance,
of a learner,
truck,
he says
music.
He agreed to it and therefore must accept responsibility.
Wrong. Slow music. 150 volts.
Let me out of here. I can't stand the pain.
A young man with slicked hair and a mustache.
Come on, he seems to be getting hurt.
There is no permanent tissue damage.
Yes, but I know what shocks do to you. I'm an electrical engineer. And I have had shocks. You get real shook up by them. Especially if you know the next one is coming. I'm sorry.
It's absolutely essential that you do continue.
Well, I won't. Not with the man screaming to get out.
You have no other choice.
Why don't I have a choice? I came here on my own free will. I thought I could help in a research project. But if I have to hurt somebody, if I was in his place, no, I can't continue. I've probably gone too far already. I'm very sorry.
Milgram puts his hand on Sasha's shoulder.
I could have wept. I mean, he looked like he wanted to slug me. Out of gratitude, you do understand. I mean, wept, because all day we've been getting nothing but wrong. You do realize I have to sit and listen to you scream all day.
Well, so do I.
He was, what, Danish?
Dutch, actually.
Right, but it wasn't his nationality that caused him to stop, was it? It was the fact that he worked with electricity.
Mm. They all seem to want to impress you for some reason.
Mm-hmm. But why? Why do so many, the vast majority, push all the way through to the final switch? Why is the Dutchman's defiance the anomaly instead of the norm? All the psychiatrists and psychologists I consulted were convinced that we'd have trouble finding a single person that would go all the way through to the end. I've been better off consulting the guy from Pepe's Pizza.
Oh, you mean Pepe?
I think his name is Carmine.
Wait. Yeah, well, you get my point. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
I'd like to try it. The test shock. Just want to know what it feels like.
Sasha.
I didn't even think of that, and I've been in there supposedly getting zapped to the maximum.
This really isn't necessary.
Well, yeah, but it's not harmful either, right? I just want to understand it better.
Okay.
The other men look surprised and impressed.
Other arm.
Milgram puts the strap on Sasha and shocks her. She blinks and nods.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They all leave, Milgram and Sasha with their arm around one another.
I design a series of variations, 25 in all, and continue the experiments over the next two semesters. We adjust the script so that the learner bangs on the wall, but says nothing. We ask the teacher to physically press the learner's hand on a copper plate, forcing him to receive
House.
The shock.
Wrong. 135 volts.
We move the experiment into a shabby office in Bridgeport to deduct the potential intimidation factor of Ivy League prestige. And back at Yale, we include women.
What did you just do?
He said ow.
Did you turn off the machine?
I thought that if it seemed like I, you know, turn.
She looks nervously at the experiment and moves anxiously in her chair.
Okay. Sure.
The machine?
Her hand hesitates above the on switch.
Please continue, teacher.
She turns it on.
Okay, short sentence, movie, time, skirt. I'm sorry, that's wrong. It's short time.
Milgram watches with a stony expression. At home, Sasha looks at expressionist paintings in a book while Milgram works.
In nearly every case, the essential results are the same. They hesitate, sigh, tremble, and groan, but they advance to the last switch, 450 volts, danger, severe shock, XXX, because they're politely told to.
Milgram addresses the camera.
The results are terrifying and depressing. They suggest that the kind of character produced in American society can't be counted on to insulate its citizens from brutality and inhumane treatment in response to a malevolent...
A previous subject comes to Milgram as he gets into his car.
Milgram? Milgram is Hebrew for pomegranate. Is that what you mean? It's one of the seven fruits of the Bible.
You're Jewish. Same as me. You seem upset. Am I upsetting you?
I have office hours. You can make an appointment.
Huh? You don't like surprises. No, I've been thinking about the experiment a lot. Really rattled my wife about what it said about me. If she was me, she likes to think that she wouldn't have pulled the switch. But you know what?
What?
You never know. That's the thing. How can you know? You can't, right?
No, you can't. Look, if it's any consolation, a great many participants were prone to nervous laughter, but my wife actually is waiting for me at home for dinner. So.
You inviting me?
No. Make an appointment.
Milgram to camera.
With leftover grant money, we filmed the last 2 days of the experiment, May 26th and 27th, 1962. 4 days later, Adolf Eichmann is executed in Jerusalem.
Cut to footage of Adolf Eichmann on trial.
Eichmann, architect of the Holocaust, responsible for the deportation and murder of millions of Jews, escaped to Argentina after World War II. He was living with his family under the name Ricardo Clemente, an employee of Mercedes-Benz, when Israeli Mossad agents captured him in 1960 and brought him to trial.
Milgram and Sasha watch the trial on a rabbit ear TV set, arms crossed.
Eichmann didn't deny his crimes, showed no trace of guilt or remorse, said he was merely a transmitter. I never did anything great or small without express instructions from my superiors.
Shot of Eichmann's sneering face on the stand. Milgram reads a quote from a Vladimir Nabokov book.
The cradle rocks above an abyss, and common sense tells us that our existence is but a brief crack of light between two eternities of darkness.
Milgram's assistants can be seen packing the machine up.
Let me out of here! Hey, that really hurts! I told you I have a heart condition! I will not be in the experiment anymore! Ow! That hate! Let me out! Let me out of here! Let me out!
Let me out of here!
I will no longer be here.
Hey, Stanley. Mm-hmm. Nice day to wrap up an obedience experiment.
Yeah. Alan shakes Milgram's hand, and all the members of the team leave. Milgram talks to camera.
I should tell you about Ash. Solomon E. Ash. You ever saw my thesis at Harvard, and I worked for him diligently and miserably at the Institute for Advanced Study of Princeton.
Ash did the thing with the lines, right?
About a dozen years ago.
The study you are taking part in today involves the perception of the lengths of lines. As you can see, there are a number of cards. And on each card, there are several lines. Your task is a very simple one. You are to look at the line on the left and determine which of the three lines on the right is equal to it in length.
This is a recreation from a film I made in the 70s. Five of the six participants are Confederates. The single true subject in the white t-shirt hears everyone else's answers before announcing his decision.
Man in white answers last.
Two.
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 Very good. Let's move on to the next card. Same thing, gentlemen.
Three.
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 After the first few rounds, members of the group choose the wrong line.
Two.
Two.
The subject denies the evidence of his own eyes and yields to group influence.
Two.
Very good. Thank you.
In the language of social science, the experiment was known as the effect of group pressure upon the modification and distortion of judgments.
Great title.
It made Ash famous among social scientists.
Sasha and Milgram pull up in front of a black and white backdrop showing a nice house.
It always bothered me that the experiment was about lines. I wanted to do something more humanly significant.
In front of a black and white photo of an empty house interior.
Stanley,
it's
so good to see
you. Hello. This is
Sasha.
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 How are you? It's so lovely to see you. Come in.
Stanley, how are you?
Glad you made it.
Milgram to camera.
Can I tell you what a miserable time I had working for Ash? Princeton, the bureaucracy, the institutional arrogance. Not permitted to use a scrap of paper without it becoming an issue to be settled behind closed doors.
Behind Milgram, a woman serves tea to Ash and Sasha.
In the office, and I was reported via formal letter. I assumed he'd introduce me to the leading intellectuals of the day. This did not happen. I assumed that he acknowledged me in the book that I was researching for him, a book on conformity.
She hands Milgram a teacup.
He did not finish the book. It was like drinking from a glass with a false bottom. I thought there'd be more. I was thirsty.
Please call me Schlem. I would prefer it. There's no need to be so stuffy.
In an elevator. Really? They met in an elevator.
Can someone please pacify the dog?
Here I am, still trying to impress him. Human nature can be studied, but not escaped, especially your own.
Well, I was on my way into this party, and I could feel somebody walking behind me as I went into the building. And we both got onto the elevator, and it turned out we were going to the same floor. And one of us said, I don't remember which, are we going to the same party?
My fate was sealed.
And he didn't leave my side the whole night. And he drove me home. And it turned out we had a lot in common. We were both from the Bronx. My mother was born in Russia. So my sister's friends, her parents in Vienna, had sent her and her brothers to New York during the war. But when I was over there visiting, they had just reclaimed their factory, and it was a coat factory, and that's where I got this.
So you're a well-traveled American girl, born in Switzerland, who took dance lessons in Paris, isn't wearing a Viennese coat? Why haven't we met before?
Stanley, why do you feel compelled to dwell on the negative aspects of obedience? Why must you focus on its destructive potential? Obedience isn't necessarily an instrument of evil.
I think we can both agree, looking at recent history, the history that brought you to this country, a history in which we see abusive power assuming unprecedented murderous dimensions.
Why does your experiment give me a dirty feeling?
He didn't expect these results. He tried to change the conditions so that people would refuse to obey.
The woman enters with the dog in her arms.
We met in the library. Oh, him, not him.
The whole time, I'm sorry, this is startling. Out of 780 subjects, not a single person got up, went to the door, and looked in to see if the man screaming was all right. Not a single one.
Sasha goes back to school, Smith College, for a degree in social work. My first obedience paper, submitted almost 2 years ago to the Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology, is finally published in October 1963. just after I start a new job at Harvard. Assistant professor, Department of Social Relations.
Am I impressed with myself, being at Harvard? Well, I got my PhD here. Harvard is the best place to be. Subjects were seen to swear, tremble, stutter, bite their lips, dig their fingernails into the flesh, and these were characteristic responses, not exceptions. And yet, despite this behavior, the majority complied. Yes.
How do you justify the deception?
I like to think of it as illusion, not deception. Semantics, you may say, but illusion, you know, has a revelatory function, as in a play. Illusion can set the stage for revelation, to reveal certain difficult-to-get-at truths.
But still, when you go to see a play, you pay for a ticket. You know you're seeing a play. These people didn't know it wasn't real. You tricked them.
Hello. Today we'll be doing an experiment about blind obedience to malevolent authority. I'd like for you to pretend that this machine is delivering painful shocks to a person in the other room. How truthful do you think that would be?
But if you think of it really, you were delivering shocks to your subjects. Psychological shocks and the anxiety,
no.
Methodically, for 1 year.
If your facts were as solid as your imagination, you'd realize that this is a false analogy.
As Kierkegaard says, take a paradox from the thinker and you have a professor.
An assistant professor.
For the moment, Dr. Milgram and myself are only assistants.
Black and white footage.
The gentleman in the elevator now is a candid star. These folks who are entering, the man with the white shirt, the lady with the trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat tries to maintain his individuality, but little by little,
Sasha and Milgram watch TV.
He looks at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall.
Actually, it's true. There's an element of illusion in almost all my work.
This man has apparently been in groups before.
Looking nervously at the others, the only man facing the front of the elevator turns to face the rear, like them.
Candid Cameron was a reference point. I never deny that. You can see that plainly enough in the lost letter technique, which I conceived of at Yale and was refined.
Students prepare letters.
Leave a letter, a sealed, stamped letter, but unmailed, for someone else to find. Leave it on a sidewalk, inside a store, a phone booth. Put it under the windshield wipers of a parked car with a note saying, found near car. All letters are addressed to the same post office box, but they're evenly split between four different intended recipients.
Friends of the Communist Party, friends of the Nazi Party, medical research associates, and Mr. Walter Carnap, all fictitious.
The innocuous content of the letters, if anyone's curious enough to open and read, is a simple message from Max to Walter, proposing an upcoming meeting.
Carnap. Kind of an odd name. Like the philosopher?
Sasha is sewing.
In 2 weeks, out of 100 lost letters to each addressee, 72 were sent to the medical research associates, while 71 were sent to Mr. Walter Carnap, but a mere 25 to the friends of the communists, and the same number, 25, to the Nazis.
We can deduce from this that the American public has an aversion to Nazis and communists, results that are reasonable and even comforting, though not startling. Why not take it further?
Takedo Murata, another student, drives to Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina, to lose a new batch of letters.
We see a typed letter placed under a windshield wiper with a handwritten note that reads, found near car.
When the letters come back, the percentages once again confirm expected prejudices. Pro-white letters get mailed more often in white neighborhoods. More pro-Negro letters get mailed from black neighborhoods.
A black man finds a letter and rips it in half.
A variation. I hire a pilot with a Piper Cub to fly low for Worcester, Massachusetts. Spilling lost letters. They land in trees, ponds, on rooftops.
Not all my ideas are brilliant.
Milgram sits in his car parked in front of a backdrop of the gates at Harvard.
Well, it's not on the front page, strangely enough.
Sasha gets in with two newspapers, giving one to Milgram. They both start to flip through.
Found it, page 10.
Sasha turns to page 10 in her paper.
Okay. Yale experiment shows many distraught over cruelty but did not stop.
Hard to see one's name in the paper, but maybe I can get used to it.
Objects have been studied under 24 different experimental conditions. It wasn't 1,000, was it?
I talked to him for over half an hour, and I don't see a single direct quote.
Dr. Milgram pointed out that from 1933 to 1945, millions of persons were systematically slaughtered on command. Gas chambers were built, death camps were guarded, corpses were produced with the same efficiency as the manufacturer of appliances. Well, there's a quote.
Think anyone else reads this paper?
Milgram walks down the Harvard corridor with a determined look.
President Kennedy's been shot. He was shot in a motorcade in Dallas. He was shot in the head.
It's Milgram. This is just another one of his experiments.
Yes,
yes.
Kelly, you've got that radio, yeah? Turn it on.
He's rigged a fake broadcast like Orson Welles.
I have.
I wonder what the experiment's really about.
This is real.
In the hallway, Milgram passes a black man in a blue one-piece wiping away tears. Milgram turns to look back as he leaves. Sasha sits on the porch as Milgram pulls up in a white convertible sports car. She is very pregnant.
I got it cheap from a grad student.
He gave me a deal when he realized he couldn't take it with him to London. It's making a kind of a funny noise. Maybe you can have a look.
Stanley.
You know this kind of thing, right?
Lives right across the street.
You have a look
we
at
just
it?
Applied for financial aid.
Oh, Jaguar, right. What's he gonna think?
Well, what, who cares what he thinks?
Is I didn't that say it? That.
Well.
I didn't say that.
All
right.
Yeah.
See you soon.
He opens the door for her. She gets in.
It's cheaper than you think. Though I understand it creates the wrong impression.
Do you?
I do.
Or are you just doing an imitation of someone who listens, who's reasonable, who... Yeah.
Well, we're going to need two cars.
Huh. Is that the dean?
He waves playfully out the window.
Well, maybe it'll impress the Harvard tenure committee.
Okay, that's what they think.
Milgram speaks with a man at Harvard.
So you returned the car?
I did.
That's sensible. I don't know a single tenured professor who drives a Jaguar.
I didn't like the color.
Well, if you get turned down, it won't be because of an automobile. But it's got to sting, yeah? The attacks, the criticisms, the violent reactions.
That woman was going through a divorce, it turns out. I didn't take it personally.
I'm going through a divorce. I don't spit at people.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Milgram and Sasha enter an airport. Sasha carries a baby. Milgram carries a suitcase and a briefcase. He turns to camera.
It's true.
That I am possibly more than commonly on edge, but how would you feel if you picked up a copy of American Psychologist and found yourself attacked in an article called Some Thoughts on Ethics in Research, a Response to Milgram's Behavioral Study of Obedience? Psychiatrists, many of you in this room, predicted that only one person in 1,000 would deliver the shocks across the board, an estimate that was off by a factor of 500. So what happened in the...
A table of board members.
...was discovered, not planned.
But you expected, you knew you were going to worry some people. Mm-hmm. Stress, in fact, was a part of it.
Well, every...
Extreme stress.
Every experiment is a situation where the end is unknown, indeterminate, something that might fail. The indeterminacy is part of the excitement.
Ethics, the undertow of ethics.
I wanted to ask a question, a series of questions about the psychological function of obedience, the conditions that shape it, the defense mechanisms it entails, the emotional forces that keep a person obeying.
As someone with pretensions as a moral educator, let me suggest that science must enhance our moral personhood, not diminish it.
You force people to torture other people?
No.
To see if they were...
No. That is alien to my view. No one was forced, right? The experimenter told the subject to perform an action. What happened between the command and the outcome is the individual with a conscience and a will who can either obey or disobey.
I don't see how you can seriously equate victimization in a laboratory con with the willful participation in mass murder.
Victimization. Look, when the experiments were complete, all the subjects were sent this questionnaire. Here's some examples. 84% said they were glad to have been in the experiment. 15% indicated neutral feelings. 1.3% indicated negative feelings. 1.3%. 4/5 thought more experiments of this sort should be carried out. And 74% said they had learned something of personal importance about themselves and about the conditions that shape human action.
Milgram, at the airport, looks disappointed.
A year after the study, a psychiatrist, Dr. Paul Arara, was hired to meet with subjects who might have suffered possible negative effects.
This is not another experiment. There's no trick here. I can see why you may have your doubts.
Yes.
This is a debriefing meeting. We're here to assess the after effects. So tell us how you feel.
I'd like to know what the point is of it.
To learn something about human nature. That was the aim. Professor Milgram?
I sincerely hope that basically you don't have the feeling that you would rather not have been a part of this experiment.
It's an interesting life experience.
I don't like hurting anyone, and I can't understand myself going all the way. It left me feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to have coffee?
Yeah.
This meeting?
I told my husband. I know I wasn't supposed to, but I don't do everything I'm told. He said he wouldn't have done the shocks. He would have refused.
I wanted to cry, but I started to laugh.
I think I did both.
Yeah, well, I was quite frightened, and I was quivering, and it's...
I actually tried to memorize the word pairs myself so that if they switched it around, I wouldn't have to get those shocks.
There's a tendency to think that everything a person does is due to the feelings or ideas within the person. You haven't had your coffee. You want coffee?
Yes.
Cream? Sugar?
I'll take 2 sugars.
Both, please.
Yes, thank you.
But sometimes a person's actions depend equally on the situation you find yourself in. And in this case, the power of the situation overwhelmed your personal power.
I'm an understanding person, okay? I'm an intelligent human being. Speak the truth to me,
And I'll cooperate gladly, even if it's a bitter truth. But don't lie to me.
Well, the purpose was to advance science, learn something.
Maybe one shouldn't do this kind of experiment if you have to deceive. Look, you can deceive other people, but don't deceive me.
We had half a dozen sessions with Aurora and invited subjects. The meetings were sparsely attended, full of confusion and complaints, but we concluded that no one showed signs of harm. No one had been traumatized.
At the airport.
Stanley? Tom Shannon.
No.
Tom did the wiring on the shock generator.
At Yale, the shock box.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
It's
Michelle.
Hey, I hated hearing about Jim McDonough. Dead at 49.
Yeah,
no joke.
Yeah, I know. Sat down to a bowl of oatmeal. Heart attack.
He had 9 kids.
Oh, I'm sad. Mm. Although, maybe you shouldn't unload such a large brood into the world, huh? No offense.
She's taking us to Paris for a stamp on her passport.
So Sasha thinks I need a vacation.
Yeah, I heard they roughed you up pretty good about those results.
Huh? Is that for tenure?
Give me a feist to go to work on.
You gotta finish your book now, huh? Publisher Paris, right?
Actually, I got sidetracked.
Working on the small...
Milgram, Sasha and Baby are in a plane.
For the small world problem, we asked people in Kansas and Omaha to mail a packet to a person in Sharon, Massachusetts. The instructions are simple. There's a target person. In this case, a stockbroker named Jacobs in Sharon, Mass. Assuming they don't know this person, people are asked to mail the folder to someone who might know him. They can send it to a friend, relative or acquaintance, but they have to send it, and this is key, to a person they know on a first-name basis. There's a roster to fill out and a batch of postcards to mail back to Harvard to track the process. Will it work? We don't know. A woman in Omaha sends the folder to a high school friend, a bank clerk in Council Bluffs, Iowa. She sends it to a man in Belmont, Massachusetts, a publisher, who sends it to a tanner in Sharon. The tanner sends it to his brother-in-law, a sheet metal worker, also in Sharon, who sends it to a dentist, who sends it to a printer, who sends it to Mr. Jacobs. 7 links in a chain. The average chain, in fact, involves 5.5 links. That is, we determine that less than 6 degrees of separation exist between you and several million strangers who you may or may not encounter in your lifetime. When we understand the structure of this communication net, we stand to grasp a good deal more about the fabric of society. Maybe it's not necessarily justified, this common human complaint, the feeling that we're all cut off, alienated, and alone.
I don't need to go into detail, do I? The things I remember when I was 16 in Bucharest, the killings, torture, terror.
Why are you bringing this up now?
It's relevant.
The man was just turned down for tenure. At Harvard. You wish to give the tragedy some perspective.
It's not just that. Because, bear with me, they took people to the slaughterhouse and strung them on meat hooks, still alive. Cut open their bellies like cattle. A 5-year-old boy. And they watched the entrails spill out, the blood drain, and they wrote notes and they pinned the papers to the bodies. Kosher.
Sasha was reading to her child in bed. She strokes the child and turns off the light. She comes out to the men in the living room.
Serge was just giving me a lesson in...
reality.
The pogroms in Romania during the war.
The Iron Guard. They lit people on fire, threw them off buildings. This is my charming way of saying your husband's work is very important and timely. Because the techniques change, the victims change, but it's still a question. How do these things happen? How are they institutionalized? The Algerian War, the tortures. Do you know about this in the States?
Of course.
You should do the obedience experiments in Europe, Stanley. France, Germany. Recreate them. Will it be different? I don't think so.
Who would fund them? The experiments are unethical, remember? No tenure, no funding. And the IRBs? The IRBs, yes. Basically, you cannot do these experiments without submitting something to the internal review board.
He'll finish his book, and then Stanley wants to move on from the obedience experiments, and why not?
Well, you look under a rock, ugly things crawl out, and we have to face them. Your other experiments, the letters, the maps, clever, hopeful, but you have to get back to the obedience experiments.
I do. I have to.
Yes, Stanley. You have no choice.
Stanley wears a corduroy sport coat and a beard.
My new job at City University New York involves a jump in pay and full professorship. Head of the Department of Social Psychology.
The City of New York is a major laboratory to be utilized in the research and training of graduate students in social psychology. That's from the CUNY brochure. I wrote it.
Sasha finds an apartment for us in Riverdale with a great view of the Hudson. Mark was born in 1967. He hardly remembers Cambridge. Even, or especially when nothing decisive is happening, time refuses to stand still.
I walk to the station every morning, take the train into the city. I enjoy the routine.
Today's assignment, get on a local bus and then with the bus in motion and loud enough to be heard by your fellow passengers, sing your favorite song.
Any song we want?
Just as long as you know the words and can sing them loud and clear. Pair up, non-singer takes notes, then switch roles. You may say, so what? Singing a song, anyone can do that, or I don't have to do that. I'm an individual, not a conformist, or this is silly. It doesn't change the world to sing a song. My answer to you is simply this. Get on the bus and sing. Now go, right now, come on. No humming.
We see Standy backstage on a set.
My next guest is professor of psychology at the Graduate Center, the City University of New York. He's written a fascinating book, a disturbing book, Obedience to Authority, an Experimental View, just published by Harper and Row. Please welcome a very creative, very controversial sociopsychologist, Stanley Milgram. Dr. Milgram. So your subjects, they thought the shocks were real, that they were delivering 450 volts, 65% of them. But they were not particularly aggressive or sadistic people. They were a representative cross-section of the average American citizen living within range of Yale University.
I thought, yes, we'd do the experiment in New Haven, and there'd be very limited obedience, and then we'd recreate the experiment in, say, Berlin, and find the rate of obedience to be much higher.
Saved a bit on airfare, didn't you? So, let me get this straight. You did the experiment in the early 60s, and here we are, 1974, and your book still feels like news. Why is that?
People don't have the resources to resist authority. That's what the experiment teaches us. Mm-hmm. But people don't want to hear it. The experiment explains a kind of flaw in social thinking, a deadening, a suspension of moral value.
What would you say to your critics? Critics who would insist the moral lapse is yours. And one of them cites the extremely callous, deceitful way the experiments were carried out. Another calls them morally repugnant, vile. Milgram belongs on the other end of the shock machine.
There certainly is a certain kind of Kafkaesque quality to the experiments.
Kafkaesque.
The experiment taught me something about the plasticity of human nature, not the evil, not the aggressiveness, but a certain kind of malleability.
65% of volunteers were obedient. That left 35% who recognized a moral breach, took responsibility for their actions, and resisted.
There is no permanent tissue damage.
That's your opinion. If he doesn't want to continue, I'm taking orders from him.
The experiment requires that you continue. You have no other choice.
If this were Russia, maybe, but not in America.
But obedience, compliance, was more common. You tell yourself, I wouldn't do that, I'd never do that. But then, what did Montaigne say? We are double in ourselves. What we believe, we disbelieve. And we cannot rid ourselves of what we condemn.
Video footage of passersby looking up.
Another one of my experiments. Hank, a CUNY grad student, is the designated crowd crystal, staring up at a fixed point in space, looking up at a non-existent something.
As you multiply the Confederates, the people who stare up because we've recruited them to stare up, the number of people who actually stop and look increases exponentially. Meanwhile, obedience to authority gets translated into 8 languages and nominated for a National Book Award.
October 24th, 1974, 4:25 p.m., Sheila Jarko, J-A-R-C-H-O, working on the Mental Maps Project, comes in and tells me errors were made in the neighborhood map, already duplicated in some 500 copies. Her facial expression captures the attitude that she's shown all along in her capacity as research assistant.
My eyes really that close together?
On the whole, both men and women are highly critical when studying photographs of themselves. The vanity factor is extraordinary when people judge their own image.
Do you ever worry that everything's sort of an anticlimax since the obedience experiments and that your work, really everything you're doing, is just a flash in the pan? The truth is, you're invested in the idea of authority and you love lording it over all of us. Me, and the other students, and even your wife.
Me?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I work here because I get paid for it, and I actually think it's kind of fun. Sheila, what's wrong with you?
Just keep doing what he tells you to do.
I don't get along with all my students. A flash in the pan? How many people can manage even that flash? I've done some psych experiments, but in my mind, I'm still about to write my great Broadway musical. 4:27 p.m. Paul Hollander, looking tan and fit, pays a visit from Massachusetts.
Tan and fit and miserable.
I am so sorry, Paul.
Another marriage down the drain. Should have seen it coming.
Oh, it's terrible. It's rotten. But you look good.
The rest of it is she's erected a Berlin Wall between me and my daughter. Hmm. Nice place you've got here.
It isn't Harvard, but thank you.
Harvard would never have given you an office half as grand as this. Or found you as bewitching a secretary.
Well, let's go where the work is.
So, aren't you going to take my picture then?
I'm considering it.
Paul poses while Milgram takes his picture.
You ever feel invincible one moment and then worthless the next?
Yes, and no.
Paul looks shaken while Milgram hands him his picture.
The camera begins to attract its own subject matter.
It's no longer a passive recorder,
but actively attracts the people it records.
A man enters with a package.
Stanley Milgram?
How did I get to be so old? What is that Kierkegaard quote? Life can always be only be understood backward.
October 24th, 1974, 4:29 p.m. Conversation with Paul Hollander interrupted by the arrival of a messenger bearing, at last, the German edition of Obedience to Authority with crass barbed wire cover design.
Mein Gott.
What's your name?
Thomas Schein.
Am I participating in my experiment?
Depends.
This wants to take your picture. Everybody's doing it.
Okay. I need a signature.
Oh, yes. He's interested in the unacknowledged power of photographic images.
Not good. Life can only be understood backwards, but has to be lived forwards.
Milgram nods. A different day, we see him on the subway platform with other people.
Around this time, I was also working on The Familiar Stranger. We take photographs of commuters on a train platform.
Each figure in the photographs are given a number. The photographs are duplicated, and a week later, the students follow up.
Students on the train.
Hello. I'm a student at CUNY. Would you mind filling out this questionnaire?
Oh, okay.
Also, do you recognize any of these people?
No.
What about here?
Well, that's me.
Yes. Can you identify anyone else?
Not by name.
Milgram to camera.
Most commuters recognize, on average, four individuals that they see in their daily routine but never speak to, familiar strangers. Amongst these are sociometric stars, figures that they not only recognize, but even fantasize about. They wonder what kind of lives these strangers lead, what their jobs are like, and if they ran into each other in another place, or if some emergency jolted them out of this routine, they might start to speak, to actually know one another.
A man dressed as Abraham Lincoln hands out flyers.
I teach at CUNY, and I see you out here, you know, all the time, and I wonder about the things you must see.
Look familiar. What do you teach?
Social psychology. City of New York is a vast laboratory. I had no idea you were English. You're English? Assuming that accent is real.
I saw you on TV.
Good morning, America. I knew you looked familiar.
He tortures people with electric shocks.
That isn't accurate.
He's very controversial.
Have you read my book? Have you?
Oh, I don't get a chance to read as much as I would like to.
Okay. I read the review.
Well, there were many reviews.
It was the Times, wasn't it? Harsh.
Yes, it was. It was harsh. It was nominated for an award, but, you know, who cares? Why disabuse yourself?
What?
I don't want to make you angry, ma'am. Just have a nice day, okay? Abe, it was a pleasure meeting you.
A man with gray hair takes a picture of Milgram with a picture of himself.
I was bowled over when I first read about it, and you in the Times. And then I read the original material in the scientific journals, and I mulled.
You were mulled?
I mulled. And this mulling produced the idea to do a TV play of a hopefully high caliber for an accepted show of a decently adult level, treating in fictional form the kind of experiment you performed in its aftermath, using it as a springboard for my own characters and situational inventions. I kept this. You see how yellow? Stan, sorry, help me. I was just wondering, your name, its derivation.
Milgram means pomegranate in Hebrew. It's one of the seven fruits of the Bible. I'm Jewish. That's what you're asking.
Apples is another, right? Figs, grapes, olives, they're a fruit. Anyhow, when you point out the parallels, the connections, Hannah Arendt, the banality of evil, the My Lai massacre, all that, I see where you're coming from. I'm here because a serious situation is pending with regard to the drama I propose. Playhouse 90, the Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS.
Milgram travels home pensively. At home, he sits holding a stack of paper. His daughter enters in pajamas.
Michelle Marbelle, ça va?
Hi.
I was just gonna get some ice cream.
It's a script called To the Tenth Level, a teleplay by George Bellick. Milgram brings two bowls and they sit at the table.
Now, whenever I'm a plane like this, which is a lot,
I think of your grandfather.
Sam.
Yeah, what's his name? Yeah.
He died.
That's right, in his sleep. It's the luckiest way, people say, not to know what's happening.
Why'd he die?
Heart disease. So before you were born, before your mother could meet him, he was a baker, especially with cakes.
He worked late.
I got it from him. Maybe he'll get it from me.
Milgram enters the CBS building.
Basically, there are three types of people. That's what your research confirms. There's the person who makes things happen, the person who watches things happen, and the person who says, what happened? Right? I'm a dramatist. I was explicit, not a scientist.
Your work is a springboard for revealing basic human truths. You get your consultant's fee. What's the problem?
It isn't about the money.
The CBS man answers the phone.
I'm sorry. She needs to speak to you again. She says it's urgent.
Tell her to relax.
He glances at Milgram.
Excuse me.
He gets up and leaves. Milgram touches a statue on his desk and a piece falls off. He hits it back. Milgram gets up and looks through the glass office walls. He sees a boy in a suit sitting in a chair and a man pass by. The intercom rings.
Dr. Stanley?
Yes?
Mr. Bellick won't be back in his office this afternoon.
Excuse me?
He can't talk to you today anymore. He says he can visit the Fed.
Okay.
Milgram looks around. He takes the elevator down and goes home.
So, you sold him the rights?
No. But it's a gray area.
But it's your book, it's your work, it's your experiments. So either you did it, or you sold it, or you didn't, right?
In the opinion of Harper's legal department, we don't have a supportable claim, not on the basis of copyright infringement, because the show is fiction. Are we finished with this? They gave me a consulting fee. Is that enough?
Your father's turning into a fictional character.
Why?
Yes, why? And why do they have to make you a goy?
It's not about me. I'm just a springboard.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, I see. So, you had no choice.
Because I could just give the money back, but they just make the show anyway. Why don't I give the money back? I'll give the money back. That's a good idea.
You know what? You don't have to be so snippy.
Cut to a recreation of Milgram's experiment with a young white actor and an older black actor.
They don't just come in and sadistically pull these switches bang bang. They have an inner struggle not to obey. Inner pain is the evidence to that.
Stephen, what you're doing is very important. And I love the design. It's audacious.
And?
I am being careful. Which is why I've got tenure around here long before Black became popular. It's tricky. Very tricky.
There'll be criticism of anything breaking new ground.
Milgram to camera.
There are times when your life resembles a bad movie, but nothing prepares you if your life actually becomes a bad movie. Here's Dr. Stephen Turner, Stephen Stanley Turner, Milgram of Rutledge University, a bachelor and a WASP, being played by William Shatner. 4 years after his last Star Trek episode, Ossie Davis plays his colleague and best friend.
I don't believe you're adequately considering a faculty reaction. You may find yourself teaching in Siberia.
Milgram sits forlornly in front of an imposing, silver sci-fi recreation of the shock machine.
This has to be somewhat weird for you.
Well, I've made some films myself, actually, documentaries.
I think Ozzy may have meant, and I was wondering also, do you have a best friend who is, you know, a brother? I mean, this tradition of a Black best friend, where did that come from?
You don't have a Black best friend, Bill?
No. Do you?
This character isn't me. I'm just a springboard.
Did you know I did the first interracial kiss in U.S. TV history?
Ah, Star Trek. Sure.
I kissed Nichelle Nichols on network TV.
Controversial.
Mm?
But you did it.
The network was nervous. They insisted we shoot an alternative version. But during the close-up, I did.
He crosses his eyes.
First time. 1968. In the history of TV.
I read about your experiments, Doctor. Did you happen to use any Black folks?
Yes, of course.
And the results?
They fared the same as everyone else, roughly 65% compliant.
You didn't force or threaten anyone, right?
No.
You didn't twist anyone's arm?
No.
You know, hold a gun to anyone's head?
You see, it brings to mind when I was 6 or 7 years old, coming home from school. Two policemen called me over from their car. Come over here, boy. Come on over.
Have I heard this one?
No. They tell me to get into the car, and they take me to the precinct station. Then one of them takes a jar of cane syrup and pours it over my head. And they both laugh like it's the funniest thing in the world. I laugh too. Then they give me hunks of peanut brittle and let me go. It took me 30 years before I told anyone.
Where was this, Ozzy? Down south?
Well, it doesn't matter where, and that's my point. You see, you don't have to go to Germany to learn about obedience to authority.
Well, it's in the book, actually. It's the 10th chapter, which very few people get to.
10th level?
The agentic state, in which the demands of the democratically installed authority conflict with conscience.
The banality of evil.
Back to shooting the show.
I don't take responsibility. Do you take responsibility?
I take responsibility. Now count that as wrong. No response counts as wrong.
Now you pull the switch, Dan Danley. Come on, you pull the switch.
Mr. Dalquist, that's your job.
No, I won't. Nobody can learn anything like this.
Milgram to camera.
Was a time, I suspect, when men and women could give a fully human response to any situation, when we could be fully absorbed in the world as human beings. But more often now, people don't get to see the whole situation, but only some small part of it. There's a division of labor, and people carry out small, narrow, specialized jobs. And we can't act without some sort of direction from on high.
I call this the agentic state. The individual yields to authority, and in doing so, becomes alienated from his own actions.
Mr. Dalquist, you agreed to the rules.
The agentic state is store policy. It's, I'm just doing my job. Or, that's not my job. Or, I don't make the rules. We don't do that here. Just following orders. It's the law. In the agentic state, the individual defines himself as an instrument carrying out the wishes of others. A soldier, a nurse, an administrator, an actor, a corporate employee, or even, yes, academics and artists.
Please, continue.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Mr. Dalquist.
Just shut up a minute! No. Oh.
Come on, come on.
The
person has a choice. He or she chooses to become agentic. But once you assume the role, it's almost impossible to go back.
Wrong. 195 volts. Dance.
Archival footage of the experiment.
Let me out of here.
Continue, please.
We always asked, is there anything the man could have said to stop you from administering the shocks? And they would always say, no, I don't think so, no.
Sasha is at a table in a cafe. Milgram enters a cafe with his two children in Halloween costume.
Hey, Michelle, sit up here.
The children sit at the counter.
Can we get a couple of hot chocolates? You want hot chocolates?
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes, please.
Chocolates all around?
Yeah. Do you want anything? Okay, no. I mean, stay put. Stay in your seats. Okay.
Milgram takes a seat at the table with Sasha. She looks angrily at him.
I'm sorry. I could say it 1,000 times, I mean it every time. Mark, turn around in your seat.
He turns back to Sasha.
Piaget. Remember when I was translating Piaget? I hit this line about child development. And it's the specific point when the growing child is able to recognize the gap between what exists and what might exist. And it occurred to me, we choose our reality when we choose another person.
What does that mean? Marriage is not a fantasy.
No. 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 Right. Right. But it is a choice. You have to know that I choose you. Every day, I choose you.
He takes Sasha's hand, lowering his head. They share a look of understanding. Now in a hallway, Milgram walks and looks to camera, an elephant following him again.
1984. 1984 was a big year for me. My lecture fees peaked. I was asked to speak all over the world about the obedience experiments. Of course. In relation to Orwell's prophetic book, a book that describes a totalitarian world where people aren't very good at thinking for themselves.
Skyscrapers in a big city.
Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons. Wise men never try. 1984 was also the year that I died.
Nighttime, Sasha drives, looking back worriedly at Milgram, who is lying in the back seat.
I was 51.
At the hospital.
Excuse me. We need to see a doctor immediately.
I'm Stanley Milgram. This is my ID. I believe I'm having my fifth heart attack.
Dr. Heisenbuttle.
That's who treated me last time.
You need to fill this out.
The agentic personality.
Sasha helps Milgram sit down in the waiting room. She sits beside him and fills in the form. He puts his arm on her back. She checks on him. Milgram teeters in his seat. Sasha checks on him again before continuing to write. We see a crowd of people. Sasha walks among them, arms crossed, looking drawn. She covers her mouth in disbelief. We see people stopping in the street to look upward, like in the street corner experiment.
No one can truly know what they might or might not do when presented with the demands of a particular situation. In 2008, a professor at Santa Clara University replicated the obedience experiments and got roughly the same results. Over 60% of volunteers delivered the full shocks. In 2010, the experiments were duplicated on a French reality TV show, Le Jeu d'Amour, The Game of Death. Participants were egged on by a live studio audience. Over 80% went all the way.
Cut to an old woman looking proudly upward.
Alexandra Milgram, Sasha, continues to live in the apartment we shared in Riverdale. Our children live with their children near Boston and Toronto. Sasha never remarried.
It morphs to the actress who has been playing her.
The obedience experiments are cited and discussed in nearly every introductory psychology textbook worldwide. My obedience film is screened for every incoming class at West Point. And my methods and results continue to be challenged, scorned, debunked. Yet every time a new outrage is unleashed into the world, sanctioned in systematic acts of violence, the obedience experiments re-enter the conversation, reframing unanswerable questions. You could say we're puppets, but I believe that we are puppets with perception, with awareness. Sometimes we can see the strings, and perhaps our awareness is the first step in our liberation.
We see Milgram in his lab, a reflection of Sasha watching him from the observing chamber. He waves into the chamber, not seeing her but knowing she's there. She waves back. Written, produced and directed by Michael Almereyda, produced by Uri Singer, PGA Fabio Gollenbeck, PGA Amy Schiff, Ison Robbins, Danny A. Beckazer, Permelita, PGA Executive Producers, Jeff Rice, Executive Producer, Claudio Simon, Rogério Ferrazin, Krista Campbell, Lottie Grobman, Executive Producer Trevor Kraft, Lee Broda, Mark Myers, Co-Producer, Joseph White, Director of Photography, Ryan Sommel, Editor, Catherine J. Schubert, Production Designer, Deanna Sidney, Costume Designer, Kama K. Royce, Music by Brian Senti, Supervising Sound Editor, Rob Daly. Consultant Alexandra Milgram, Casting, Billy Hopkins. Peter Sarsgaard, Winona Ryder, Jim Gaffigan, Eduardo Ballerini, John Palladino, Kellen Lutz, Dennis Haysbert. Danny A. Beckazer, Taryn Manning, Anthony Edwards, Lori Singer, Josh Hamilton, Anton Yelchin, Adriana Randall, Donnie Keshawartz, Michael Sibbery, Ned Eisenberg, and John Leguizamo. A BB Films production, a FJP production, an Intrinsic Value production in association with Jeff Rice Films, 2B Productions in association with Marzipan Productions Limited Experimenter, The Stanley Milgram Story. Cut to archival footage of Stanley walking through a crowded city street. Cast, John Williams, John Palladino. Miller, Anthony Edwards, James McDonough, Jim Gaffigan. Stanley Milgram, Peter Sarsgaard. Alan Elms, Harley Ware, Alexandra Sasha Milgram, Winona Ryder, Sasha's suitor, Jason Black, party hostess, Kyla Haggerty. Braverman, Kania Abe Kaiser, Taylor, John Leguizamo, Bruno Donny Keshawards, Elephant in the Room, Minnie, Whitaker, Tom Farrell Washington, Frank Hartz, Resnalier, Anton Yelchin, Mrs. Lowe, Taryn Manning, Solomon Ash, Ned Eisenberg, Florence Ash, Laurie Singer, Paul Hollander, Eduardo Ballerini, Takato Murata, Xavier Fan, Student Number 1, Craig DeLorenzo Donna, Emily Veer Nickel, Crying Man, A.V. Mamoudou, Wertheimer, Gary Steingart, Curtis, Abe Altman, Paul Arara, Paul Lazar, Mrs. Greer, Camilo Wright, Mrs. Stein, Adriana Randall, Tom Shannon, Josh Hamilton, Serge, Pascal Yanfister, Mr. Abe Lincoln, Mark Elliott Wilson, Michelle Milgram, Lucy Fava, Mark Milgram, Jude Patrick White, Maury Silver, Emerson Rosenthal, Sally, Betty Gabriel, Dick Cabot, Tom Bateman, Percy, Diego Cortez, Sheila, Emily Tremaine, Thomas Shine, Bondi Curtisall, Familiar Stranger, Harold Takushian, Woman in Yellow, Shakishne, George Bellick, Michael Sibbery, William Shatner, Kellen Lutz, Stefan Macht, Carl Geary, Counterman, Thomas Roma, Hospital Receptionist, Emily Hansen. Additional credits run on screen.
Once you have found him, never let him go. Once you have found him, never.